भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 26, entitled Wonderful Krishna, text number 25. This is the last verse of the chapter. Deve Varshati Jagya Viplavarusha Padrashma Varshanila. Deve Varshati Yajna Viplava Rusha Padrashma Varshanilai.
Deve Varshati Yajna Viplava Rusha Padrashma Varshanilai.
Siddhat Palava Pashustri Yatma Sharanam Drishtvanu Kamputsmayam. Siddhat Palava Pashustri Yatma Sharanam Drishtvanu Kamputsmayam.
Siddhat Palava Pashustri Yatma Sharanam Drishtvanu Kamputsmayam.
Utpateka Karina Shailam Abaloli Lochilindram Yata. Utpatyaika karena shailam abaloli lochilindram yata.
Utpatyaika karena shailam abaloli lochilindram
yata. Vibrad goshtam apan mahendra madabit priyanna indro gavam.
Vibrad goshtam apan mahendra.
Vibrad goshtam apan mahendra madabit priyanna indro gavam.
Vibrad goshtam apan mahendra madabit priyanna indro gavam.
Deve varshati yagya viplavarusha padrashma varshanilai. Siddhat Palava Pashustri Yatma Sharanam Drishtvanu Kamputsmayam.
Siddhat Palava Pashustri Yatma Sharanam Drishtvanu Kamputsmayam.
Utpatyaika Karena Shailam Abaloli Lochilindram Yata. Vibrad goshtam apan mahendra madabit priyanna indro gavam.
Vibrad goshtam apan mahendra madabit priyanna indro gavam.
Deve Varshati Demigod Indra, Parshati, caused rain, Yajna, of his sacrifice, Hiplava, due to the disturbances, Rusha, out of anger,
Vajra,
with lightning bolts,
Ashmavarsha,
hail,
Anilai,
and winds,
Sidat,
suffering,
Pala,
the cowherds,
Pashu,
animals,
Stri,
and women,
Atma,
himself,
Saranam,
being their only shelter,
Drishtva,
seeing,
Anukampi,
very compassionate by nature,
Utsmayan,
smiling broadly,
Utpatya,
picking up,
Ekakarina,
in one hand,
Shailam,
the hill of Govardhan,
Abala,
a small child,
Lila,
in play,
Uchilindram,
a mushroom,
Ita,
just as,
Vibrat,
he held,
Goshtam,
the coward community,
Apat,
he protected,
Maha
Indra,
of King Indra,
Mada,
of the false pride,
Bit,
the destroyer,
Priyat,
may he be satisfied,
Na,
with us,
Indra,
the Lord,
Gavam,
of the cows.
Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
Indra became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokula, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherds, animals, and women there. When Lord Krishna, who is by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had only him, as their shelter, he smiled broadly and lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with it. In this way, he protected the cowherd community. May he, Govinda, the Lord of the cows and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us.
Purport. The word Indra means Lord or King. Thus, in this verse, Krishna is pointedly called Indra Gavam, the Lord of the cows. In fact, he is the real Indra, the real ruler of everyone, and the demigods are merely his servants, representing his supreme will. It is apparent from this and the previous verses in this chapter that Lord Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill made quite an impression on the simple cowherd men of Vrindavan, and they repeatedly remembered this feat. Certainly anyone who soberly and objectively considers the activities of young Krishna will surrender to him and become his eternal devotee in loving devotional service. This is the rational conclusion one should come to after reading this chapter. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 26th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Wonderful Krishna. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Tatati Svaparantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Samaniti Namane Pancha Kalpa Trivrishcha Kripa Sindhi Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Indra became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokul, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherds, animals, and women there. When Lord Krishna, who is by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had only him as their shelter, he smiled broadly and lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with it. In this way, he protected the cowherd community. May he, Govinda, the lord of the cows and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. So this is an interesting summarization of the Govardhan pastime. Leading into the next chapter, where Lord Indra and Mother Sarabi come and offer prayers for Lord Krishna. Here is described in this verse how the cowherds, animals, and women there were suffering greatly by the disturbance caused by King Indra. Previously, this described something, explained something in the chapter 25. I'll read one purport here. It says that Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Lord Krishna's pastime potency to enhance the loving dealings between the residents and the Lord. The Acharya gives the analogy that for a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food, and thus hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. Similarly, the residents of Vrindavan, although not experiencing ordinary material anxiety, felt a type of distress at the activities of Indra and thus intensified their meditation on Krishna. When the Lord finally acted, the result was wonderful. So this is the statement. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains something, why the residents of Vrindavan were feeling some type of distress. Because generally, devotees, they're not under the same laws as the materialistic persons. Materialistic persons suffering the results of their karma, their fruit of activities, they have no other shelter. They have nowhere to turn in their distress. But the devotees, they simply become more attached to Krishna by their so-called distress. There's this statement, Chaitanya Bhagavata has a very nice statement. It says that yata deki Vaishnavera vyavahara duk nishchaya janiha taha parananda sukh, that we see some kind of if a devotee vyavahara duk is ordinary type of distress, what one sees, like here, very powerful winds, rain, lightning like that, being the residents of Vrindavan being afflicted by these things. So these are ordinary things, ordinary causes of distress for ordinary person, vyavahara duk. But janiha nischaya, that one should be very certainly understand, vyavahara nischaya taha, that this so-called distress that ordinary persons feel, that the Vaishnavas, they don't feel like that. They actually, this is parananda sukh, this is a transcendental happiness for the Vaishnavas, because they become more attached to Krishna by this so-called distress. And here, there's also, I think in the, was it maybe the prayers of personified Vedas, that they describe something more about the so-called distress devotees have, the unhappiness, just like, of course, devotees, that means someone who is, in this context, at least one who is completely transcendentally situated, the residents of Vrindavan, they're on the same platform as Krishna as far as their transcendental situation. They're completely unaffected by any type of material modes of nature like that, which is the result, material modes of ignorance like that, results in distress. But the residents of Vrindavan, they are not anything to do with these material modes of nature. So they're situated on the transcendental platform. The so-called distress they experience, but we are a different situation. We're actually struggling with these to become free from this material nature. So this type of Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example that if you pull you cut off the electrical connection in a fan, the fan continues to revolve for some time. So as practicing devotees, neophyte devotees, you sometimes feel some type of distress. This may be somewhat due to our past activities. And gradually as one purifies himself, that one time other types of distress may be experienced by devotees, that they Krishna gives devotees sometimes tests, Maya gives sometimes tests to make sure one is very sincere and serious about his Krishna consciousness, his or her Krishna consciousness. And here, as described here also, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we cited, gave the analogy of a hungry person, that they say this sometimes like that, that hunger is the best cook, that when one is hungry, when he gets some very nice food, becomes very more relishable. So similarly, sometimes Krishna puts his devotees through some type of difficulty so that when they actually get free from that difficulty, then when they get situated in their Krishna consciousness properly, they can experience even more, they can relish the taste of that association with Krishna even more. That's why we have these types of feelings of separation, viparalamba bhava, types of feelings of separation for devotees, sometimes very acutely suffering like that, in separation, so-called separation from Krishna. But actually, the devotees feel transcendental happiness like that. They're described, because this verse today was gives us a reminder of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguya Go Shri Jiva Gopala Go. These same meters there like that. So they were also described that Hey Rad Raja Devi Ke Chalalite Hey Nanda Suna Kuta. That they were going around Vrindavan, different places, sometimes on the banks of the Jamuna, sometimes at Govardhan Hill. And from the external point of view, so you could say that they were suffering like that, feelings of separation. Hey Nanda Suno Kuta, where is that transcendental son of Nanda Maharaj? That they're feeling this separation, and apparently, even further, you could say that they practically gave up eating and sleeping. That is described also in the same verses glorifying the six Goswamis. They gave up practically eating and sleeping, which is the pleasure for a materialistic person. They take great pleasure sleeping long hours. When they get a vacation, they get, oh, now I can sleep long hours like that. And eating, of course. But the six Goswamis, they practically nidrahara vihara kadi vichito. They gave up. They completely conquered over these things because they were so much. What is that? They were gopi bhava or samratab vilahari. They were completely absorbed in this mood of the gopis. So how can the gopis, if the six Goswamis became completely indifferent to all these different types of activities? How would the residents of Vrindavan, who were
the six Goswamis were remembering on my bed, the residents of Vrindavan, they had no business with these material miseries like that. But there's other places also it describes that that Govardhan Hill, when Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill, it said that it seems contradictory to me that some of the animals that were on the peaks of Govardhan Hill, and even the leaves of the trees, they were not affected at all by these rains of King Indra. So this is what is described, that Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura says that this is an arrangement made by Krishna's pastime potency to enhance the loving dealings between the residents and the Lord. Otherwise, there's no possibility of feeling any type of discomfort. That is the statement also earlier in this 14th chapter in Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. There's a very nice verse that Śrīla Prabhupāda sometimes he chanted separately like that. That samāśrutaye padapalablaplapam mahatparam punya yasho marāde pavam urir bhakta param 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 yadvi param natesham. Says that for one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like a water contained in a calf's footprint. Their goal, persons who have taken shelter of Lord Krishna, is Paramparam, Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. Param yad viparam natesham. This world is described like that. There's danger at every step. Of course, this danger, what this danger is in this material world, the devotees see it as the mercy of Krishna. Otherwise, where are we going to get our impetus to develop our Krishna consciousness? Unless we have some type of difficulties and miseries, we like to stay here forever. Everyone would like to make very nice, comfortable arrangements in this world and live forever. But unfortunately, even if we want the material laws don't allow anyone to stay in this world. People, they're working, struggling so hard, accumulating money to make some comfortable arrangement. But it's not possible. Even if you make some comfortable arrangement, you think you're comfortable, you can't stay. So that is the boat, the lotus feet of the Lord. Here we're in the 10th canto. This is compared to the smiling face of the Lord. One should be firmly fixed in the lotus feet of the Lord before one reads these transcendental topics here in the 10th canto. So one has to come to that point. There's also very interesting, because I was listening to Śrīla Prabhupāda one class, he was telling how Krishna, he knew the physical science very perfectly, so he could lift this Govardhan Hill. This was a very interesting statement, I thought, that Krishna knows the physical science very... Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Sarsharacharam, the material nature works under my direction. And he also says, Gama Visha Chibhutanam, that he enters into the planets and makes the planets float. But Śrīla Prabhupāda used this to describe how he lifted Govardhan Hill because he knew the physical science very perfectly. So I was actually sometime before I had read something about one very amazing personality, ordinary person, in South Florida actually. So I want to read something I just pulled up on the internet. It says, how is it possible for a short, 100-pound, sickly man working alone and using only simple tools to have quarried, cut, trimmed, and assembled over 3 million pounds of dense coral blocks to build a castle? This is in South India, just in north, south of Miami, like that, Homestead, Florida. Sometimes called the eighth wonder of the world. This man's name was Edward Leedskalnin. And he was an immigrant from Latvia, and he built this castle by himself. He says, when he was asked sometimes how he built this, he said, "It is not difficult, really. The secret is in knowing how." He said he claimed to have rediscovered the laws of weight, measurement, and leverage. He stated that these laws involve the relationship of the earth to celestial alignments beyond these sketchy explanations. Edward didn't say much. His brochures, he made a brochure, and he says that he's discovered the secrets of the pyramids and have found how the Egyptians and ancient builders in Peru, Yucatan, and Asia, with only primitive tools, raised and set in place blocks of stone weighing many tons. There's some examples of his castle that he built. Some of the more incredible of his works was an obelisk monolith weighing nearly 30 tons, twice the weight of any stone in the Great Pyramid. At 40 feet tall, it was taller than the great monolith at Stonehenge. This he quarried and also erected by himself. He carved the great stones into intricate designs. He created a rocking chair weighing 3 tons that could be rocked with a finger. He made a spiral staircase with one piece of stone that led to a subterranean refrigerator. Perhaps the most spectacular of Ed's carvings is a huge 9-ton stone door through which he drilled an 8-foot longitudinal hole which was precisely aligned with the stone's center of gravity. Edward fitted the hole with a shaft resting on an automobile gear and then installed the door. The door fits within a quarter of an inch of the walls on either side. The door is so perfectly balanced that it may be easily pushed open by a 5-year-old child using one finger. So, it's amazing. It's amazing that this person did all these things. A 100-pound man, immigrant by himself. And then he built this castle, and then he moved it with some truck like that. And when they was unloading the truck, he told the guy, the driver, to look at the other side or something while he unloaded the truck. So if an ordinary person like this can do this, we can understand how Krishna, Gamavishachabhutani, that he's entering into each planet and maintaining the planets, how Krishna, he knows the physical laws very perfectly. He can lift Govardhan Hill very easily with a arm, with his one pinky like that. So there's nice prayers of acharyas. They've offered their prayers to Krishna in this way, that how that Krishna, if we take shelter of him, if he protects us. This is one of the 6 symptoms of surrender, rakshishyatiti vishvaso, that one should have full faith that Krishna is going to protect one. And Krishna, not only Krishna declares, I mean, Krishna, of course, Krishna, we can take his words also, but Krishna tells Arjuna to declare, kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta kanashati, that Krishna was always protects his devotees. That is the mood of the devotee like that. What else we have? That Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's prayed like that, of course, what that type of protection, how that form of protection comes, that the devotees, they're not expecting Krishna to protect him in any particular way like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays like that, that Marobi Rakabi Yo Ichituhar, you can keep me alive or kill me. That's Nityadas Pratitua Adhikar. This is your right. Your right is there to do what you like with your eternal. I'm your eternal servant. You can do whatever you want with me like that. So this is the mood of the devotees.
There's also material world, so many types of arrangements. I mentioned earlier so many types of arrangements. There's one very nice prayer by Prahlad Maharaj that he describes that Balasaneha Sharanam Pitaram Nishingha Nartasya Chagadam Udandvati Majito. Now, that he gives some examples that Balasaneha Sharanam Pitaro, that the parents, they can't protect their child. They're not qualified to protect their child. They can't, the child, something may happen to the child, and the parents, they're just aggrieved. They say, oh no, how did this happen? They're incapable of giving perfect protection. That just describes that Nartasya Chagada Mudandati Majitono, that he gives also example that a physician and medicine cannot help a patient. Sometimes the best doctors in the world, that Srila Prabhupada gave one time example that one of his friends was praying that to the doctor, oh please just give me 2 more years, I have to finish all my plans. But no, the doctor with the best medicine, they can't save the patient. And that, what is that? Majito, no, the boat can't save a drowning person like that. They have the example of there, the Titanic, the unsinkable Titanic sank on its first voyage like that. So, none of these material arrangements can save one. Rake Krishna Marike, Mare Krishna Rakeke. That if Krishna wants to kill someone, if Krishna wants to put someone in any type of difficulty, no one can give him any protection or save him. But if Krishna wants to save one, no one can hurt him like that. There is one other thing I was wanted to discuss a little bit to see, because we were this term Indra, we had some we were just revising our Chaitanya Bhagavat, and there's one verse there that says Jaya Jaya Visarva Loka Natha Gura Chandra Jaya Vipra Veda Dharma Nyasira Mahendra. So the purport is a translation we put, glories to Gaurachandra, the Lord of all universes, all glories to the best of the Brahmanas, the Vedas, the eternal religious principles, and the sannyasis. So it's described that the phrase Vipra Mahendra is explained as follows. When a living entity or marginal potency of the Supreme Lord displays some prominence, he is addressed as Indra. Such is the case of the Vipras. There is in the verse it says, Jaya Vipra Veda Dharma Nyasira Mahendra. So the meaning is that there's Vipra Mahendra, Veda Mahendra, Dharma Mahendra, and Nyasira Mahendra. Mahendra, of course, means a great Indra, Maha Indra, like that. So it's described that the Vipras, they are the spiritual masters of all other castes. So they're described as like Indras, but Gaurachandra, he's the best of all those Indras. He's the greatest of the best of all the Brahmins, like that. So he's therefore described as Vipra Mahendra by Vrindavan Das Thakur, describes him. And Veda Mahendra, the is the best of the Indras, who are personifications of the Vedas, like that, Veda Mahendra. So, and Dharma Mahendra, there's the Dharma Nyasir Mahendra, the sannyasis. It's described that there's Karma sannyasis, Jnana sannyasis, and of course the Tridandi sannyasis. Lord Chaitanya, he was the best of all the sannyasis because he showed the futility of Phalgu Vairagya, and he established the principles of Yukta Vairagya, the principle of utilizing everything in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he's described, he's addressed here in this verse as Nyasira Mahendra. So this is just some things you had to do on this. Of course, Indra Gavam, the Lord of the cows, this is also turned around like that, becomes Govinda like that. He's the Lord of the cows. Later on, I think in this next chapter, Indra directly establishes Krishna. He gives them that name, Govinda, as the Lord of the cows. And sometimes we used to say, describe that in Vrindavan, there's one nice place at Govardhan Hill, Govinda Kund, where this pastime took, this next chapter pastime took place, where Indra and Sarabhi come to offer prayers to Krishna. They did the Abhishek, bathed Krishna with waters from the celestial Ganges. So that water from that bathing of Krishna formed that Govinda Kund. Beautiful place, Govinda Kund. That's described also that Madhavendra Puri used to sit on the banks of that Govinda Kund, and Gopal came to him in a dream, in his dream, gave him some milk, gave him some milk like that, and then later he came to him in the dream and said that I've been waiting for you to come serve me. So they found that deity in the bushes, Madhavendra Puri, and that deity, Srinathji, is there at Nathdwar. So, anyway, we used to tell that anyway, that this Govinda, this name, Govinda is very significant in this pastime, that Indra addressed Krishna as Govinda, because this Govinda means the Lord of the cows. The cow is described, I did some research trying to find this, but I couldn't find, Srila Prabhupada said this, but there's other devotees, Shivaram Swami, and Advaitacharya, I think, other Advaitacharya, not our Advaitacharya, but they said that all the demigods reside in the limbs and the body of the cow. That is the statement that they say. So in this way, because Lord Indra addressed Krishna as the Govinda, the Lord of the cows, he's therefore indirectly, because this is very nice when Krishna is addressed indirectly, he takes pleasure like that, Indra is accepting Krishna as, you're my master, because you're the Lord of the cows, we all reside in the body of the cows, therefore you are my eternal master and I'm your servant. So this is the conclusion of that pastime of Govardhan. Of course, these prayers are coming up in the next chapter. We'll have that next time. Hare Krishna. If somebody has any questions, comments, that's perfect.
The cadence of this last verse is very different than the cadence of all the verses of this chapter. I was just wondering if there was any reason for that.
If there's any reason? You mean the inverted meter of the verse?
The meter.
Yeah, I couldn't say. How would I know? But, you have some idea? Huh?
But some of the roles.
Well, it depends on how you count.
I know, that's why I'm saying that our Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada gives with this verse that you just read, it is a prose.
Yeah.
It is actually two, not one.
Yeah.
So if you calculate like this, then it's 18,000 verses.
All right.
Anyway, I have one. You have nicely explained how the suffering of Prajavasi should be seen. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very nice elaborate explanation on the Jiva Goswami Pad's commentary for his Gurudev, Rupa Goswami Pad's natural devotion, that the nature of Prabhupada writes at least two places in Bhagavatam purport that one who achieved the bhava, there is no touch of maya anymore. So, if you put that Prabhupada's word, that Maya cannot touch once somebody revive his dormant love, Then see, the prem is caused by that bhav, and then the nature of prem is affection, sneha, and the nature of affection is mamata, possessiveness. He's my son, Krishna. He's my friend. And then the nature of that mamata produces two things. Atishay atanka means they expect something horrible can happen because they possess so much that object of love, and they lose the discrimination. That's why all this lila, it's a very tasty for them, but for conditioned soul it's difficult to grasp.
Uh-huh.
That's natural. They will never give up thinking that Krishna, some bad thing will not happen to him because of their excessive possessiveness through affection.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah? Comment?
Well, it's from the part of the purport where Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, by understanding Krishna's pastimes soberly and objectively, then, you know, they surrender to Krishna and attain eternal devotional service.
Yes.
And it made me think of a purport. I don't remember if it's in the first or second canto, but Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that, and it's interesting because he talks about Govardhan Leela. He says, if you want to even understand Krishna Leela like Govardhan Hill, the lifting of Govardhan Hill, then you must be keenly interested in learning all Shristi Tattva and the Purushavatars. And you know, I didn't really know what that meant so much, but by traveling and meeting a lot of other youth or people who have grown up in Krishna consciousness, seeing, you know, that if there isn't a basic foundation through, you know, knowledge or understanding, then the faith can be, how you say, shaken very easily.
Yeah.
And then if the faith is shaken, then, you know, sadhu sangha isn't experienced. And, well, so just this was coming to my mind, and I was just thinking maybe if you can expand more on what that means, soberly and objectively understanding the pastime.
Soberly and objectively understand it. Well, when I read that section also, it came to mind, that the one verse in Bhagavad Gita describes that Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samandita. Buddha means the learned, so of course to be sober and what is the other sober and what? Objective. One has to be learned in order to be sober and objective. So someone sees Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, that everything is coming from Krishna, or the other verses there, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, Samahatma Sadurlabha, that if someone sees that everything is Krishna actually, there's no anything outside of Krishna's service. There's no possibility of, just like the prisoner in the prison, he's also serving the state, the government, but indirectly or unfortunately the wrong way. So in the same way that mata sarvam pravartate, everything comes from Krishna, we have no opportunity to not serve Krishna. Everyone is serving Krishna, so we can take the opportunity to do it favorably and get the benefit. Otherwise we suffer in this material world, repeated birth and death, without getting that benefit. That's my take on that, as being sober. One should see that there's no opportunity not to serve Krishna, and better to take the benefit by doing it directly. Anukulyena self, that Krishna and Shilana, like that. Do it favorably and then you'll get the benefit. Alright, anybody else? Try Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.